So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to Love After Lockup. Haha, okay. I'm Miss H, and today, Mr. O and I will be recapping Season 1, Episode 3 of Life After Lockup, where Day-Day makes our day, Shane gets a job, Tony shows us how to pick a high-security clearance passcode, Andrea and Lamar try to swindle the kids with an ice cream outing, Cheryl hates on Josh's mom, Tina, and Clint tries to free Tracy. If you like what you hear, please do us a favor and give us a rating so other listeners can find us. And if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O.
How are you doing?
You know, I'm just doing okay, but I'm doing better than the people on this show.
Let's hope so. I think everybody should be doing better than the people on this show. That's like the benchmark.
Yeah, low bar, I suppose, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's our, at least we have them. So who did you want to start with this week?
Let's see here. Why don't we start with Angela and Tony?
Sounds good. Whew.
Yep. Oh. Tony is slowly making his way back into Angela's heart.
He's getting closer.
Yep. Step one was the couch, which he seems to successfully made.
Uh-huh.
And he made it to a bed. It was kind of unsure if it was their bed.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that either. I like rewound a bed. I think it was an actual bed. I don't think it was a futon. Like, it could have been a futon because it was like, you know, to go with your rule that you made in our 90 Day Fiancé podcast, there's no headboard. So clearly not an adult bed.
So they're not really adults.
Yeah.
No, not adults. Yeah. So Angela's still acting cold to him. So that's why I wasn't sure if that was like a guest bed or if it was their bed.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still trying. He gets the awkward, I love you.
I love you. I love you. But I love you. Yeah. God. You seem mad. So let me just say I love you over and over again.
And yeah, it doesn't seem convincing.
Yeah. It's like, it's very robotic. It's like, I love you. I love you.
Like, oh, is the camera on? Yeah. Oh, okay. I guess I should say I love you.
Uh-huh.
I love you. But I love you.
But I love you. And then, like, Angela has this clearly, I don't know if it was fed to her, but she clearly had rehearsed it, at least in her head. But she whole spiel. But Tony, I need to know right now. And just goes on a whole clearly rehearsed thing, which she might have had a lot of time to rehearse on her own, to be fair.
Oh, my goodness. It's, I don't know. She keeps on asking him, like, I need to know if you're lying to me. It's like
yes. The answer is yes. He's lying to you right now.
Yeah, but what does she expect Tony to say? Well, yep. I've been lying the whole time, and I plan on continuing to lie to you. It's like, he's not going to tell you the truth, so why are you demanding it like he's really going to be truthful?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get that either. Like, this time it's for real. This time you really need to tell me the truth. Doesn't work. Doesn't work like that.
Right. So she says, you know, I need to know if you're going to be lying to me. And it's like, she needs to know if he's conning her. It's like, a con is not going to admit to a con.
Right. Well, I mean, they do because, I don't know, I've always said this about my own belief about con men is the easiest person to con is someone that they think they're in a con with you. And you kind of like bring them along. Like, that's the person. So they're like, they might tell you they're conning somebody else, but they're not going to say they're conning you.
Right. So Angela, she's tired of this whole, you know, Tony sleeping outside of their bed in the car.
And Tony is too, because he said this has happened 6 times before. He's had at least 6 other women he's done this with. He's just
know. There's a common denominator here, Tony. It's you. So Angela, I just feel like she just wants it to be good, you know? She wants it to be good with Tony. So she says that they're going to work on it, but there's going to be rules. And then that's when Angela,
love the rules
the funny contract you make as kids, right? Yeah. Where, like, kids are trying to be all, official and, you know, make up rules. Like, rules in my room.
Yeah, number
you
one.
Know, rules if you enter.
No girls allowed. Number two. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's kind of the same rules.
Yeah, that's the same rules. It's very much the same rules.
No girls allowed.
No girls allowed is rule number one. She writes it in Sharpie in like giant handwriting. It was the fun.
Right. That's why it reminds me of a kid.
Right. I'm glad she didn't like almost like grab the pencil like with her fist and just like like a bear trying to draw.
But I feel like maybe he needs that because, I don't know, maybe she does need to treat him like a child.
Yeah, I don't think his reading level is going to be that much higher than a child. I think if she uses too big a word, she's going to lose him.
Don't give him that much credit either.
But rule number one.
So there's rules. No hookers.
No prostitutes. Rule number one.
Oh, God, Angela. Yeah, why are you so tough? Jeez.
I know. Right off the bat. Oh, jeez. Man, if we can deal with that.
Tony is not going to have any fun.
Right, especially with rule number two.
Yeah, no extra money. Well, specifically for prostitutes.
Right. Yeah. Because if she gives him cash, she's going to use it on prostitutes. Because she's been giving him, I believe she said, a couple hundred a month that he's been spending on prostitutes, which I feel like a couple hundred per month. I don't know the market rates for prostitutes.
Is it getting you very far?
But it's not getting you very far.
I was just going to ask, Mr. O, I feel like you have some insider knowledge about pricing here.
If you're getting very far on a couple hundred a month, those are probably people you shouldn't be spending money on.
Yeah, well, what was funny is, so last season, they had the woman, Michelle, that Tony was supposedly hooking up with at his hotel job.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say Michelle seemed like she had some denture situation. So I don't know. I feel like maybe Tony doesn't have the highest of all standards.
Yes.
Well, he claims to have impulse issues.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just whoever's there, whoever's available, whoever he can afford.
I mean, I guess. But, like, I feel like at a certain point, isn't there a level where it, like, becomes harder to perform? Not something that you're like, your impulse goes the other way at some point, I think.
I don't really know, but yeah, he seems to want to change. No, he really doesn't. No. He doesn't want to change. I mean, he says he wants to change, but
no.
I don't know. I believe that as much as I believe his, I love you.
I love you. I love you.
I love you.
So rule number three and four. I'm putting rule number three and four together because they are tied. Rule number three was no drugs. And rule number four was drug testing. So,
Well, she also had a rule that she's going to be tracking him. So she will have access to his phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, then she makes him sign this legally binding contract and hangs it on the refrigerator.
Uh-huh. Because that's where he's going to need to see it. On the refrigerator.
Yep.
He doesn't really like it. He feels like she's being a little controlling, especially with the phone thing. Because
he says life is going to be more boring.
Yeah, the phone thing harshes it because like of all the other rules, like I could see him being like, you're not going to find out about that. So it's what he saw instead of no prostitutes and no drugs. He saw, don't let me find out about the prostitutes and don't let me find out about the drugs.
Right. That's so true.
And then
Tony's an idiot.
Oh, so hard.
Okay, so then this gem happens. Angela says, okay, I need access to your phone right now. And he just does the deer in the headlight. What? Right now? Yes, unlock your phone. What's the passcode? It's 2222. So she puts it in and it doesn't work. So then he was like, she's like, that's not it. And he was like, oh, well, that's what it used to be. It's like, why are you playing games right now? She clearly has the phone out in front.
What was your end game? What did you think was going to happen when she typed in the wrong password that you knew was the wrong password?
Right. And then he's an idiot. So he's like, oh, that's what it used to be. And now it's 3333. That's what I'm saying. Tony is kind of an idiot.
Didn't even go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, my gosh. You know, honestly, I feel like iPhone won't let you do 1, 2, 3, 4. Because I was setting up my mom's, and I was just like, my mom is never going to remember a passcode. So I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And they were like, nope, you can't use that. It's way too
common. But the same number four times they let you. Well, I don't think his was an iPhone, which might be different.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. But it's just like, why are you even lying to her? What is that? Yeah, so he doesn't think this is worth it. He's like, I don't feel like giving her access to my phone is worth it. She's, you know, acting more like a mom or a warden than a girlfriend at this point.
She even says so she's the warden. She literally says, I'm your new warden. Like, so?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll see. I think he can I think he's just, if I stay here and make my sad puppy eyes long enough, all of this will just go away.
Well, I mean, I feel from his perspective, he's just going to write it out as long as he possibly can. Because what's the worst that she could do at this point? Kick him out. And, you know, he's just going to do what he's going to do. He's going to try to get away with what he can try to get away with.
Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty much throwing money in his direction. It's like, why wouldn't you? You know, what do you have to lose but the money that you wouldn't have in the first place? So
yeah, because I feel like once she let him back in, right, after she kicked him out the first time, now he's just playing with house money. Now he just gets a few extra months of whatever, and then he gets kicked out, and he's in the same boat he would have been in right now. So he's in the same boat he would be in if he said, I can't live by this contract, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
So he might as well wait it out a few months and let her kick him to the curb.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, yeah. There's nothing to lose at this point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. Who do you want to talk about next?
Let's go the other way. Let's go with Clinton Tracy, because that was pretty short. There's much there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Quinn saw the lawyer. Big lawyer. Did we get the lawyer's name? Because I like the other one where he had Lawyer Lou. We don't have Lawyer Lou in this show.
Oh. No, I didn't get the lawyer's name.
We got a
lawyer.
And I guess it's, I guess he just says 5K bond. And then she's looking at, she's looking at 2 to 20 years. And and the lawyer's kind of like the parents. He was like, it's probably not worth the money, like, to bond her out right now, because he looks at her priors and he's like, so things not looking so good.
No, they're not. So Clint even says, that's a lot of dead presidents to come up with. And he looks so proud of his joke when he said that in the interview. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, jeez. Right. I always dislike that term, because like half the people on bills were not presidents, and like they're like, oh, the
right, that's so true.
Especially the big ones, like the 100 is Franklin. That's not, he wasn't a president.
No. All right, so they're trying to get around, you know, this big jail sentence, so they're thinking about rehab. So taking a look at rehab options, and Clint says that, you know, looks likely that she's going to have to go to rehab.
I don't know. I mean, she does. And I guess if it's worth it, but they say if she doesn't, if she's done with the rehab, she's going to get book thrown out of her. Like if she drops out of rehab or she relapses when she's out, like that's pretty much it. That's her last chance.
Yeah. I mean, I think she can do it, you know, like how long did she stay sober? You know, it took a few times, but when she was first on the show, they had, like, you know, her getting out of jail and then the wedding night. And the wedding night is where she relapsed. And, I mean, she'd only been out of jail at this point, like, 2-3 days. So she relapsed pretty quickly. She ended up back in jail. And then I can't remember how long she was in jail for, but she lost all that weight. So that leads me to believe there was some drug stuff happening in jail, too.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I also believe that she does have kind of an eating disorder. She probably just doesn't, like, prison food, and she's not about it. It's depressing her being in there. When she got back out the second time, for a long while, she started steadily gaining weight, and she was looking a lot healthier.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think she was clean. I don't know for sure. So I feel like she does have the ability to kind of hold it together for a little while. It's just what's motivating her to stay clean and sober, especially if her partner is Clint, who, you know, maybe he's not into the same stuff she is, but he's still a user of something. And that's got to be somewhat triggering for her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. And what else? I don't know. What else do they have? It's just like, I don't know. Does she care that much about sad Clint that's going to be the thing that, like, gives her the motivation to keep going? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel that Tracy really does have genuine real feelings towards Clint. It really just seems like she does love him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that they're just not good for each other.
Sure.
You know, and part of it has to do with the fact that Tracy needs someone who is clean and sober.
That's
just
true.
Straight up.
Right.
And Clint isn't that.
Right, and it's someone that's so connected to all her using past. He was there and there and there, and that's, he's not breaking out of the pattern. If you go back into the same environment that caused you to use before, like, that's probably not going to be conducive to staying clean.
Yeah, and all the love in the world just isn't going to help their situation. They really just need to either both stop using or, you know, just go their separate ways.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who you want next?
Let's get Andrea and Lamar, or Andrea and Lamar, out of the way.
I liked Andrea and Lamar this week. Well, I didn't like Andrea and Lamar this week. I liked their segment. Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrea and Lamar, where we left off is Lamar finally made it to Utah from LA. Mm-hmm. And Andrea is just trying to put on this facade like, oh, you know, we're not on good terms. You're going to sleep on the couch. You know, you got to work your way and get in my good graces before I let you back in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So Lamar goes into the bedroom.
Yeah, she's holding to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she invites Lamar up because he's trying to work himself up off the couch. He's like, this is dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to get off this couch. I want to get into the bed.
So Andrea is just upset and praying when Lamar goes into the bedroom. I was like, oh, God. I feel like the reason why she annoys me is because I feel like a lot of what she does is 100% for show. You know, she's trying to look like she's this super devout Mormon woman.
Mm-hmm.
When let's be real here, how was Priscilla conceived? In a prison closet.
Right.
Before they were married. So that is not a devout Mormon way.
I decidedly get the impression from her kids that you know, especially Nyla and Tennyson, especially that, like, when the cameras are there, she's acting like a completely different person than when the cameras are not there. Like, she is.
I believe it.
So, especially because they do this, because we know, you know, she did the prison closet thing, which, and even the prison closet. Okay, this is what even bothered me now that I'm thinking about it. Had been thinking about it now for a couple weeks. The prison closet thing kind of made me mad. Not mad, but she's like. Seemed like, oh, we did this. We were just so, you know, we wanted to have a child so bad. It's like, no, you were horny and you had sex in a prison closet. It's okay to have been horny. You didn't have to do it so you could have a child. Like, that's weird. That's weirder than just being like,
right.
I want to have sex with my husband. And he was in jail.
And I'll bring it back. I'll bring it back up again, even though I brought it up, you know, a couple episodes ago, is that the thing that really annoys me about this situation is she was not married to Lamar when the prison baby started happening.
Uh-huh.
And when they first showed her on the show, she was acting all prudish, like, no, we cannot have sex until we're married, you know, and trying to once again present herself as this very devout Mormon lady who would never think about having premarital sex. So they just had to wait until they were married. And it's like, come on, now looking back on it, you had sex in the closet before you were married. Like, quit trying to play it off like you're this devout lady when we all know the truth.
Right. I mean, I feel like it hits Lamar, too. So this is the point where when Lamar's in the bedroom, I don't know, it's one of those breaks the news things that it was like, was that news? I'm not sure that was news. Where she tells Lamar that she told everybody, all of her friends know that he's Priscilla's father. And like, whatever. It just doesn't seem like that big of a deal to make a whole segment out of it.
Right, it doesn't. Yeah, I think they're just desperate for a storyline at this point.
Right.
So they're debating on whether or not to tell the kids. And I was like, oh my God, the kids do not need to hear about how... Let's not tell them details. Let's not tell them about the closet.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that the kids would be as grossly... uncomfortable with the entire situation as they would. And so the kids would not.
Yeah.
We're just going to tell them this. We're going to tell them the bare minimum. They're not going to ask any questions because they don't want to know the answers. And we're going to leave it there.
No, they don't. Yeah.
This is the part where I was like, okay, Andrea is putting on a show for the cameras again. Because after they have this conversation, Lamar starts trying to make some moves, right? He starts like touching her thigh. And she like is like, oh no, you have not earned your way back. And I was like... No, that's for the cameras. I bet they've already had sex in that bed. And now she's like...
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Oh, no.
Andrea is a freak. Yeah.
And so that's where Lamar was really confused. He was like,
What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what you're talking about. Not when the cameras are here.
Yeah. So they all go out to, looks like ice cream or something, and there you go. Nyla calls them out. She's like, you never take us out unless you have something to say.
Right.
It's like, oh gosh.
Right on it.
Poor, poor child. And then Tennyson, even know what's coming.
And then poor Tennyson gets all excited. He's like, oh, so you're getting a divorce? Are we getting a divorce? Is that what's going on?
I know, right?
Please tell us. That's
they thought it was big news.
Right.
Then Andrea says, you know, oh, I know you might have been wondering how I got pregnant, you know, with the Holy Spirit. It's like, uh-huh, right.
But again, I love those kids. I love Tennyson's reaction. Yeah. He says, I know you think it was the Holy Spirit. And he was like, no, we did not. We're not that gullible, Mom. Come on.
Oh, Nyla was just straight up like, I don't want to know the details.
Good for Nyla. Nobody should want to know those details. That's,
we do not want to hear about that.
Her friends
wanted
to hear
about it. Yeah,
we
don't either, Nyla. Jeez.
I know.
Yeah. Except for Andrea's friends. But I feel like that's just because they're like repressed Mormons. They need to hear the dirty stuff.
Yeah, they need to hear it. That's right. Yeah, they just need just a little bit. Just the idea of like you had sex outside of the bedroom. Ooh.
What?
How naughty.
Outside the bedroom? Outside of marriage?
Ooh.
How could you?
Steamy.
Yeah. Mm. So Nyla, she's actually upset because Andrea basically says that she told, you know, all of their sip and see group.
Right.
Whatever the weird baby shower situation was. And so Nyla, the reason why she's upset is because she feels like everybody knew before she did or before their family did. And she knows that they live in a tight-knit community and that people gossip. And mm-hmm. so she was just, you know, self-conscious that everybody knew and was kind of like in on something.
Right.
She was just walking around clueless.
Yeah, because not even just like her friends. She's like, well, if her friends knew, they probably told like my classmates, like the people, like the people in school I knew and I didn't. What is this? This is nonsense. Which is legitimate. Like of the rank order of thing, when you have what you think is big news, you got to tell your family before you tell like random friends.
Yeah, true. So Nyla says that she doesn't really feel differently about Lamar, but she certainly feels differently about her mom. So she's mad that she can't trust her mom because she thinks that Andrea is a liar. It's like, yep, Nyla, you go, girl.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's so true.
Where did these kids come from? I don't understand.
I don't know. They're so much more mature.
They put up the name tag for Nyla. I didn't know. She's only 14. Like, what the crap, man?
Yeah.
Why is the 14-year-old more mature than both of the adults? I don't like it.
Lamar actually doesn't seem that immature to me. He just seems like kind of maybe a little bit self-centered a little bit. But other than that, he just, doesn't seem especially immature. You know what it is I don't think of Lamar as being kind of this conniving, manipulative person, whereas Andrea is definitely both of those things.
That's
true. I feel like everything she does is like conniving, manipulative. She's trying to paint herself in a very specific light, mm-hmm. and she's trying to control the narrative. And I feel like Lamar just doesn't care. He's way more laid back and just like going with the flow. He doesn't seem immature. Sometimes he seems a little self-centered, but
I'll give you that.
You know.
He's going to tell, he's going to say what he thinks and what he does. He's not going to, he's not going to pretend, he's not going to, like Andrea, pretend he never just wants to have sex because that's what he likes. Like, he's like,
yeah, he's just like, whatever, judge me, I don't care.
All right.
Goodness. Yeah. So Nyla, she just can't believe that her mom kept a secret that big from her. And I think she's just really super disappointed. So, that was pretty much for them.
So let's go on to Shane, Lacey, and John.
Okay.
Ooh.
So they're playing house at the beginning. Lacey's packing lunches for the kids and Shane because Shane got a job.
Shane got a job.
I know.
It's a job.
I mean, at least he's trying.
Oh, no. I'm not going to deny his job. It sounds like I've never had this job, but he's like a fire watch at the shipyards. So it sounds like he just stands there and like watches.
Yeah, it sounded like a bizarre job.
Yeah. But you knew it was a new job.
It didn't seem like he did a lot.
All of his PPE was like brand spanking new. He had a brand new hard hat and really bright orange vest.
Okay, so kind of funny thing about that. I think I saw on Instagram someone had screenshot like their cam girl things.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say that Shane was in the background with that exact same outfit on. And so I want to say that it was like maybe part of role playing slash... his job gear.
Wait, so you think he got it as like a stripper construction worker outfit and was like,
I don't know.
Yeah, this works.
It's well, like, oh, good.
Because I don't know, if you get a job, if you do get a job like that, they usually do give you a stipend to buy the, they call it PPE, personal protective equipment. So you get like, mm-hmm. and you can go out and buy it. And I'm sure he did and was like, oh, we're doing it in this tonight. Yeah.
Probably. Concerning. Okay, so did you catch that they said this is his first job he's ever had?
Right. So like,
that's so he's, crazy. But I guess if you went to jail early,
I looked. He's 22 now. Like, that's not crazy that he wouldn't have had a job before if he was in jail for a couple years, and that was when he was 20, and like and didn't do anything before that. That's not crazy. I keep forgetting how young he is.
Yes, he is really young. But I guess the weird part for me is that, you know, the expectation is because he's dating someone who's a little bit older, a little more established in terms of family life and kids, and she's responsible for all these dependents. Mm-hmm. It's weird for me to think that her partner is someone who's never had a job before and he's supposed to help her hold it down. So that's the part that I'm kind of like, it's so weird. This is his first job.
Right. I like, you. Yeah, moved into a house before you have a job. Like, that's weird. Like, how do you have an apartment before a job?
Yeah. There's a lot of firsts for him.
Right.
Yeah. So Shane, he believes that things are going much better now because John is back in jail, or so he thinks.
Uh-huh. And that was the, dramatic cut, the quick cut to John now. Like, boom, boom, boom. John being not in jail.
Right. So it looks like he's in a halfway house.
Yeah, that's what I would say. It was a halfway house. He was talking to a, I don't know, they called it a recovery specialist, but it's like a sponsor, it seemed like. Yeah.
Sure. But so he's in there in a program, and it will act as his time served if everything goes well.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in jail, and kind of the condition of him being out was living in this halfway house and doing this program.
Right, right. And he's talking to this recovery specialist, and they just are super, like, I don't know if they were planting those thoughts or they were really coming out, but it was like heavy mm-hmm. foreshadowing about what his plans were now that he was out. Because it was like, the recovery specialist was like, well, you know, one of the blessings of recovery is sometimes we can get the people we've hurt back into our lives.
Oh, gosh. It's like, no, let it go at this point. Yeah. So John says he wants Lacey in his corner, and he thinks he can change her mind if he just sees her. And I feel like it just seems like a very common thing. Like, people think that if they just see me, mm-hmm. like, I can win them back.
I mean, it didn't work the first time. I don't understand. I don't quite get that level of self-confidence to be like, well, last time I totally drove them away. But if I could just get him to talk to me one more time, I can get him back. But I guess that's different, because I guess if you've been in a relationship, it's kind of been on again, off again. You're like used to that cycle, and you're like, if I can just engage back into it, the cycle will start over again.
Well, I quite honestly think she's been sending him text messages that makes him think he has a chance. And so I think he thinks that because she's already having doubts about Shane,
mm-hmm.
which evident by the sexy text he's likely getting, that he thinks that if he can just see her in person, that he could somehow change her mind. I mean, Tony thinks the same thing, right? If I can just sweet talk Angela, I can get her to change her mind.
Right.
So John is likely thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. And especially if we consider Lacey might be easily changing her mind,
mm-hmm.
he thinks he has a chance.
Yeah, well, especially it's going to happen if Lacey finds out the thing that Shane was talking about in this hardware store. They were in a hardware store for some reason. That was a weird setup.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
We have that same older buddy from last time, which we assume is prison buddy.
The speaker of truth.
Yeah, we liked him. He was good. He gave him good advice last time. He does
very good advice.
Gives him fine advice this time too, actually. I mean, it's okay. It's eh. I can see his advice. It wasn't bad advice. Let's put it that way.
No, it wasn't. And I think really, and we'll kind of talk about this when we get into the advice. I think it just depends on what your end game is, what your perspective is, because I have some thoughts about this.
All right. Well, let's get there. So he kind of comes out of nowhere. It doesn't even feel like it was teased that much. He was like, "Oh, I have a big secret, and I feel really guilty." Like, and turns out that it was like before the wedding. So I guess him and Lacey were still together, and they were still like not even like on a break or anything, just together. And he just hooked up with some rando.
Yeah, he has big regrets.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't think he's a bad guy. So
nobody thinks they're a bad guy.
Of course not. So he thinks that if he just tells her that he can be free of the guilt and, you know, living this lie, and that will prove that he's good to her and that he still deserves to have her in his life.
Yeah. So that's my issue. Is that, like, yes, honesty is better than lying, but like, if you want to tell her because you want to rid yourself of guilt, then that's like taking all the emotional baggage of it and just taking it off of you and just dropping it on her and being, well, I feel better now. That's great.
Yeah.
So it's all about like what you're trying to, like I said, what's your end game? What are you trying to accomplish with this? And if what you're trying to accomplish with this is I feel bad and it would be better if she felt bad and then I wouldn't feel bad anymore. That's not the best way to approach it.
Right. I have mixed feelings about this because I agree with you in that I feel like if his motivation to tell her is really self-serving to make himself feel absolved of guilt, then, you know, that shouldn't be the motivation.
Right.
The motivation should be to confess and allow her to have a choice if this is the kind of person she wants to be with or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be prepared for the worst.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, yes, it's better that she know. But it's kind of a poison motivation for it that's really bothering me.
Yeah, I agree. So Joe is Shane's head. So he tells her Shane exactly that. He said that he's got to prepare himself for the worst if he's going to tell her.
Mm-hmm. Shane is not prepared for the worst, even a little bit.
Oh, no. He isn't. Well, here's the thing. This is why I think this is coming up now, because it does seem kind of random that it's coming up now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Shane has always felt insecure about where he stood with Lacey because he thought that John was a legitimate threat. And so now that he thinks that John is in jail, he's like, okay, well, yes, there is the threat that Lacey may leave me, but she's not going to leave me for John. So I'm her only option. So if I'm ever going to tell her, now is the best time. Whereas if I told her if John was out and about, then she might just go back to John, you know. But I think he's feeling very secure about where he is in their relationship because John is supposedly not in the picture.
I don't disagree with that. And that makes it worse than even just the feeling guilty and unburdening yourself. Consciously wait for the time when it's hardest for her to leave. Because, and I guess that's the part that disturbs me too, is he's like, well, clearly she can't just like, she wouldn't just like leave me and just be single. Like, she would only possibly leave me if there was another man she could immediately run into the arms of. Other than that, that's it. Which is kind of sad. And thinks very little of her.
Yeah, it is sad. But he's kind of immature. So, because even he says at some point that, you know, it was like Lacey came to her senses. It's like, did she? I feel like it was that John was not available anymore. That's not Lacey coming to her senses. That's like the lack of option.
Right. Yeah. And
I just think he's really immature and doesn't see it for what it is.
Oh, yeah. He definitely is not playing. He's playing like, you know, not even 1D chess. He's playing half D chess. Like, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Did you have anything else to add about them?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. We got two more left.
I think we ended with the throuple last time. So let's start with them and leave Josh and Cheryl last.
Nice.
Okay. So I love Day-Day.
Yeah. Day-Day is
awesome.
I love
saying her name. It's so much fun. I love that she has like respect for Sarah, because recognizing that Sarah is the father, mm-hmm. the mother of her nieces, mm-hmm. and, you know, is encouraging Michael to also have the same respect for Sarah, because Day-Day, she just speaks truth.
Oh, yeah.
And I love her so much.
Yeah, I really like Day-Day. I went to school with a Day-Day, actually. It was a guy. But,
really?
Yeah.
I love that name.
But it was like, yeah.
It's just fun to say.
Yeah.
Day-Day.
Yeah. It's definitely nobody's real name, but it wasn't his real name, but it's definitely a nickname people pick up.
Yeah, I like it. So Michael's playing basketball with Day-Day, and she's just speaking truth. Oh, so they did flash back to Day-Day and Megan. Mm-hmm. So this did happen in their season where, kind of off camera, Megan was talking shit on Sarah. And Day-Day came to Sarah's defense because, you know, it was more of an attack than it was, like, both-sided. I mean, Sarah did throw some punches. I'm not saying she didn't. But it definitely was...
Hold on. I got to stop you because of the nature of this show. Like, figurative punches or literal punches?
Oh, it was on... yeah, I know, right? Because I have to distinguish between the two. It was figurative.
Okay.
So this was all over Twitter.
Okay.
So Day-Day definitely defended Sarah, and Megan came at Day-Day in real life. So when they were on camera, they had an on-camera disagreement because Day-Day was kind of like, well, I don't want anything to do with her. She disrespected Sarah. She disrespected me. And then, of course, Megan was being defensive. She can't possibly be wrong about anything. So, you know, Megan was being stubborn. She was being Megan. So
right. Okay.
There's bad blood between them.
That's what I put down. There was some social media bullshit is actually what I put down, because Day-Day seems to, I'm not maybe be on Team Sarah, because she knows at the end of the day she has to be on Team Michael, like, reluctantly.
Yeah.
She's like, this is the team that drafted me.
Yeah,
I guess I'm stuck with this one, right? But
yeah,
she's definitely in the case of Meg versus Sarah, she's like, but Sarah has your kids, like, what, you can't
right
completely cut her out. That doesn't, it won't work.
Yeah, and I would say she's very fair about not talking shit about Megan to Michael.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, even though they have their disagreements, and I'm sure Day-Day has no problem saying stuff to Megan, she doesn't really say anything to Michael. I mean, she may say things generally like, why are you messing with other women? You know, you should be faithful to one. Like, she might say something like that, but she doesn't ever, like, attack Megan.
Right.
At least on camera.
Well, she's his sister. Like, she knows how to argue with him more than anybody else does. And she, like, knows his tricks and how, if you get mired in specifics, he's going to talk about the sneakiness and the vindictive actions and not, like... Like, she needs to keep the level... She needs to keep it at 5,000 feet. And, like, let's look at the bigger picture, Michael. What are you doing?
Right. So Day-Day says he's just pimping, and he says, nah, I'm just doing me. And it's just like, oh, you're such a selfish asshole.
Right.
Like, that's what selfish assholes say. Oh, no, I'm not pimping. I'm just doing me. I don't care about the other women that I'm screwing over and messing and playing with their feelings.
Right.
Like, because
whatever's best for me.
I'm just doing what I want to do.
Yeah, I'm doing for me. It's self-care. I was like, not self-care. He has to say that.
Just not self-care.
All right.
Definitely not self-care.
So Michael, okay. So something that immediately turns me off of Michael is his proclivity of calling women females. That just drives me bonkers. Like, I hear it all the time. As soon as I heard a guy be like, well, he's talking to this female, I'm like, we're done. I'm done.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
I'm not going to stop. I don't want to hear the rest of your story. I'm done.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, so one of the females he's talking to is Maria.
Yeah, they're kicking it.
Yeah, he claims to have known Maria from before he knew Sarah, so it sounds like an ex-love, and now it's a rekindled love. So the other thing that I really dislike about Michael is that he tries to play off like he's this really great dad. And it's like, okay, I get that he thinks that, you know, how he treats his kid is completely separate from how he treats the kid's mom. But it's like, that's tied in. You cannot be a bad role model, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, a bad example and claim you're this great dad.
Oh, yeah.
But
absolutely.
It really pisses me off. Yeah. And he's wearing a sweatshirt with his kids on because he's trying to play that role of like, I'm this great dad.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I have a sweatshirt with my kids' faces on the back of it.
There you go. The thing is like, you can't. Kids learn way more by watching you and learning from your example than they would ever learn from whatever you do, whatever you tell them. And there's no way he wants right. his daughters to grow up and get treated the way he's treating other women. I mean, he would never say that because he was like, I'm not treating right. anybody wrong. I'm doing fine. But like,
yeah,
he knows. He knows he wouldn't tolerate it.
It's not that he would like that to happen, but I don't think he actually cares about his kids as much as he lets on.
True.
So if that were to happen, he's not going to be like Megan's dad who's threatening the other guy.
Oh, no, he's going to be like, you know? It's Sarah's like, fault that they ended up like that. It's yeah. her fault. She should have done a better job.
Right. Yeah. But Day-Day points out the obvious or seemingly obvious. You know, her and Michael didn't grow up with the dad. And he's kind of pulling the same things with his kids. And Day-Day just says, you know, you should consider them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wants her nieces to have a dad. And he's just not stepping up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did she say, like, was he like, oh, I'm good with my kids. I see them all the time. Because he kind of tried to still say, I'm being a dad. And she was like, but you're not. You weren't.
Right.
Where you been?
Because he's really kids. Not.
No. 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 Not even. Yeah. Not even remotely.
Yeah. So it just, Michael, he's never picking up the phone, but then he actually picks up when Sarah calls him.
Yeah, because his mom's there.
Yeah, probably.
I think he would have ignored it.
And I was going to say, the mom and Day-Day are both on Sarah's side.
Yes. I agree with that.
Yeah. Or at least they're trying to keep the peace, mm-hmm. you know, and they're civil with her. And I would say nice to her.
And they do know. They both seem to want to have a relationship with the children. And they can't if
yeah.
Mike, like, you can't just, like, bypass Michael. Like, it doesn't work like that. Like, he is there in for that relationship.
Right. So Sarah, basically she's calling him because she's been highlighting their phone bill of all the different phone numbers in the different states.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying that she feels like she got thrown away. And she's threatening to shut off the phone if he doesn't want to put in time with the kids.
I don't know why she would threaten anymore. I would just be like, when I'm hanging up,
just
I'm scared. The phone's
yeah.
dead. After I hang up, your phone's dead.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I feel like people who do that, kind of like the empty threats,
uh-huh.
it's like they maybe are a little bit more delusional that something is going to happen, you know, because it's like the delusional part is probably like, oh, well, he'll realize that he can't abuse this phone like he is and he'll stop calling the other women. It's like, do you really think that's going to happen?
Yeah, no. No, and we definitely know because of his reaction, which is bonkers.
Yeah.
Sarah's out of bounds. But she's paying your phone yep. bill.
Yes.
Whenever she decides to cut it off, she's in bounds. She don't have to pay your shit.
Right. Yeah. He says that Sarah's jealous and that's the only reason why she's trying to control him.
I don't know. I get the impression. I don't know if it's Sarah trying to oversell us. But she seems pretty much over him. Like, if he turned around the next day and said, oh, I'm sorry, I want you back, I'll kick everybody, I'm done with everybody else, she'd be like, you can come see the kids, but we're done. At least I hope she would. Good Lord.
I don't know. I kind of don't think she is. Like, I think she could still be sweet-talked back into the situation.
Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where she's never going to truly be over him until there's a good man in the picture.
Oh, I could believe that. I could believe that. Until you
or
could
maybe
see
a man in the picture.
No, it's got to be somebody better. Picky. It's got to be an upgrade. Like, it's got to be somebody who
yeah.
she could be like, this is how I'm supposed to get treated. Oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
oh, this is basic decency and respect. Oh, okay.
Right.
Let me get that
yeah.
out of there.
I don't think a huge upgrade, but a little upgrade. Maybe.
Yeah, a little. Somebody, I mean, just somebody who isn't.
Who hasn't been to jail.
Overtly taking advantage of her, yes.
Yeah. So, Michael has plans. So, he said he's going to go visit Sarah because, you know, that's what she wants him to do. And he wants to see the girls. but he doesn't want to feel like alone in this situation because he feels like everybody's against him.
Such a coward.
So he's going to bring Maria. And I was like, who the hell is Maria?
He's such a coward. Like,
he is.
Because he knows what's going to happen. He's going to bring another woman, and then yes! she's going to fight with Sarah, so he doesn't have to. He's such a coward.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's true. Maria's definitely going to fight his fight for her. But then it's like, I feel like he kind of gets off on seeing all this women fight over him.
True.
So I feel like he's trying to set up a situation where they would fight over him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So Sarah, she's not holding her breath. She doesn't even think Michael's going to come. So I don't know. The end is showing him rolling up with his lady.
Right.
I'm guessing Maria, unless they're introducing someone else. I heard there was a Jessica in the mix. Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he'll just bring them all. Bring his whole army. Yeah. And just invade.
They're going to run out of space on their title cards. There's too many women.
Have to have like a periodic table of pictures. And just like
right. It's going to be like the Brady Bunch with yeah. Michael in the middle. Oh, goodness. All right, so that leaves Josh and Cheryl.
Josh and Cheryl. All right, so Cheryl starts off with one of my least favorite. It's a trope of people in terrible relationships, and that it's like the amount of time that we fight is evidence that our relationship is good. It's like, no, it's not. It's not at all. We fight because we're both just a little crazy, and that's like makes us strong. It does not. Fighting is bad. You should never fight. I mean, it depends on what you mean by fight. You shouldn't never disagree. Right. Like, there will be friction in any relationship, but it should not be like screaming, is somebody going to call the police, like fights.
No, it should never get that way. But I feel like people who say things like that just have really good makeup sex. And so it's like they feel that they need to have those volatile, explosive arguments in order to get to what they think is like kind of the highlight of their relationship.
Okay.
Which is fairly ridiculous, but they don't see it that way.
So what you're saying is you have to be both crazy and not particularly good at sex.
I guess so. Less makeup sex, apparently.
Right. It's like unless there's an incredible, like huge flood of emotions that is just makes it uncontrollable. Like, we're not good at it at all.
Like, oh, goodness.
Could you like make up for that with like some technique or something? Like, come on. Like, we can.
I don't know. Yeah. So Josh says that Cheryl is perfect when they are alone and there is no stress. It's like, oh God, Josh. No, that's not the definition of perfect. And if you're just waiting for the perfect conditions,
right.
Essentially, she's not perfect. Those are just the perfect conditions.
Who is not awesome when you're alone with no stress? Like, isn't that literally just like everybody on the planet? Like,
yeah. So it's just like you don't have any outside influences like to disagree with you. It's like, oh, God. So he has a curfew and he has to have an ankle monitor until he has a new place. So this is what's motivating Cheryl. She wants to move out immediately. Well, and let's be real here. The real motivation is she's really trying to get away from Josh's mom.
Yeah. Yeah. So her and Tina are butting heads a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point where she even does that, like they follow him back to the basement and where they're going to have sex. And she's like, this is something I don't understand at all. Where she's like, it really gets me off that we're having sex in her house and it's upsetting her. Like, I can't imagine hating somebody so much that them being upset makes you horny. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, like, then, because the first part makes sense. You know, their whole, like, makeup sex thing. But, I am confused also how it got this bad. Like, Tina, yes, I know, she's not a big fan of Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
But at what point did Cheryl just decide to have this like immense, intense hatred towards Tina? Like, it seems to be unfounded.
Everything I see in the episode, Tina's not being an angel, but she's definitely like, I don't know, at least making an attempt to be somewhat neutral and just trying to run out the clock. And like Cheryl just, everything Tina does just sets her the hell off.
Right. And she's rude. Just so rude. It's like, do you remember whose house you're staying at?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like the idea. She's like, it's like, Yeah, they keep flipping back and forth. Like she's like Tina's like, oh, do you want your eggs over easy? And she's like, I'm gonna smack that bitch. I'm like, what? Why are you?
Yeah, like? I know. It's like, why are you so angry? Jeez. Yeah. So Tina's being good with Brandon, and I feel like it seems like she's trying, and at least, you know, she's being really nice to Cheryl's son, and I feel like she should look at that situation because this is not an ideal situation for her son either.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina is just trying to make him feel comfortable, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. And then Tina brings up the rickety ass castle. So that is just hilarious to me. That's actually where they broke up.
Right.
Did you catch what was happening in their flashback? So
it looked to me like they were going to get married. They were looking for wedding for places. And Josh had proposed this castle because it's a castle. A castle's a romantic. But it was more or less a condemned building that was like falling over. And then Cheryl was like, this is totally unsafe. We can't get married here. And that turned into a big fight and they broke up. Is that more or less accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Actually, I want to add something. So my friend, his parents live in Colorado. And so he's never watched this show. I've never talked to him about this. And he starts sending me all these pictures over, you know, winter time, Christmas time, because he was out there visiting his family. He started sending me all these pictures of the castle. And I was like, oh, I know exactly where you're at. And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, oh, you know this place? I was like, yeah, because this castle is, I guess the story behind it is this some rando guy just decides, oh, okay, well, I'm going to build this like castle thing. I'm going to make it open to the public. And I don't know why, but there's some kind of weird loophole where he basically doesn't have any like building codes apply.
Okay.
So he just started like making whatever the hell he wanted. And so one feature of this castle is there's this huge random like metal dragon head off to the side of the castle. So my friend took a picture of that and I knew I was like, yep, I know what that is. In fact, I'll post it to our Instagram later. So yeah, it's kind of funny. But so part of the whole like no building code situation is that there is just quite honestly some dangerous parts of this castle. Even my friend was saying, he was like, oh yeah, there were parts where there's no railing. You could have just like fallen off this like random ledge. And so Cheryl brings that up. She's like, this is just not safe. Like we have kids, we have like my grandparents, like this is not a safe place. And I mean, obviously she was being way more negative about it, unnecessarily so. And so Josh was getting frustrated that, you know, she was just being so negative. And he's like, fine, like, you know, I thought this was going to be something that you liked. I thought it was going to be romantic. Like, I guess, you know, we don't see eye to eye, and, you know, broke it off with her.
Which, to be fair to Josh, seems pretty accurate because the place she wants to get married in now is an abandoned insane asylum. So, like, he wasn't that far off.
No, he wasn't. Oh, my gosh. Yes. So she wants it because it's one of the most haunted places in Michigan. It's like, you're crazy. You know, honestly, the more we find out about Cheryl, the more I'm like, this lady needs to be in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
She seeks out a convict boyfriend because she all of a sudden gets hot and horny for Ted Bundy, you know, and it's like she's really turned on by people who commit crimes. She really seems to want to, I don't know, she's crazy, live like get married in this insane asylum,
right?
Batshit crazy,
right? Which is funny because both Josh and Tina had the same reaction to her saying that.
Yeah.
But like Josh, she was like, oh, I'll convince you. And Tina, she was like just seething. Like, how dare you tell me I have a bad idea? Just steam coming out of her ears. And it's just like that overreaction.
Tina just says, I'm not going to go. And it's kind of funny because I feel like Tina was saying that anyway.
Right. Oh, I don't know. Well, yeah. So what is she saying? If it's in an insane asylum, I don't go, or I don't give a shit because I'm not going either way. Like, I don't know which one she was saying.
Because, she said before that she would not go to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's just Tina's excuse to kind of shit on Cheryl's idea because she wasn't going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just wants to say it's a dumb idea. I'm not going. Yeah. Cheryl says, I want to smack the dentures out of that dumb bitch's mouth.
She's been holding on to that for a long time. Like, she thought of that over the season break and was like, got it. I'm going to say this to the interview. I got it. When can I use it?
Oh, gosh.
Oh.
Gosh, so disrespectful.
Yep.
You're living in this lady's house. Like, calm yourself.
All right. So, the ending. What did you make of this physical altercation? I'm putting it in quotes. Physical altercation that we didn't see.
I mean, I don't know. So Tina supposedly slaps Cheryl. And I don't know. I just feel like Cheryl probably deserved it. I mean, it's not right of Tina to do it, but I don't know. The restraint it would take for me to not slap Cheryl, I don't know.
So in my head, because I don't know, I felt like I've dealt with so many people like Cheryl, and like especially people who are have claimed they've been hit. Like, but like I could totally have seen a situation where, you know, Tina tried to tell the three-year-old to do something, and Cheryl just lost her shit. She's like, how dare you tell my child to do something? She says, it's my child. You're going to get to talk to him like that. But when she's saying that, what do you think her hand was? You think her hand was by her side, or was her hand right in Tina's face?
Right.
And I could totally see Tina slapping her hand away and Cheryl going, she hit me! She hit me! She hit me! Oh, my God. We're done. I'm leaving.
I can see that too. Yeah. And definitely Cheryl's doing that whole, like, don't parent my kid.
Right.
Because I think it's absolutely reasonable, you know, for Tina to ask Brandon to clean up his mess.
Yeah. I don't.
They're living in her house.
Yeah. I absolutely do that. If I'm in, I don't know, that I have kids and they're not three anymore, so they're a little better. But like it was always, if the owner of the house, wherever we were, it's their rules. If they tell the kids to clean up, I'm like, well, I guess you better clean up then. Like that's.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a guest in somebody's home, you kind of should do what they say.
I know. You're not going to yell at them and be like, don't parent my kids.
Exactly not.
Like, that's not really asking. I don't know. That's not really parenting them. Like,
no. Well, and she also, in the middle of that, she had like a thought that I really was like, tells me a lot about her parenting style, I guess. Because she was like, he's 3 years old. He doesn't know how to do that. I was like, yes. Yes, he actually does. A three-year-old is fully capable of cleaning up. That is not something that's beyond the three-year-old.
Now, it depends on what you asked him to do. If Tina's asking him to, like, vacuum or something, then maybe
not. It sounded like she was asking him to clean up his own stuff, the stuff that he had gotten
right.
out. It's not like she was, it's not like she was like, use a Brillo pad on that, those pots over there. They ain't going to wash themselves. Let's go.
Right. Oh, goodness. All right. So that's all our couples,
That's all
right?
of them. That's all of our couples.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. So, student of the week?
I think we have the same one. Day-Day.
Yes, I love Day-Day. And you're right. We do have the same one. I mean, just process of elimination, right? We didn't even see Marcelino and Brittany this time.
That's true. That's true. And everybody else had glaring flaws. Just glaring flaws.
Yes. Yeah. And I just really like Day-Day. Like, she's just a cool chick, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, I would want to be her friend, but then I would be concerned she's too cool for me.
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah. Day-Day wouldn't want to hang out with me. Yeah.
All right. So,
but I like that she defended Sarah.
Right.
You know, and really tried to get Michael to see that he's just not treating Sarah right.
Yeah, I just thought the whole conversation was good. Yeah, because she did that without like, insulting Michael. And, you know, because that's because Michael just once you start talking about him, he has that way of just shutting down. He won't listen to anything else you say.
Right, right. And so I liked that she approached it from, you know, like being respectful of his daughter's parent.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she may have gotten to him a little bit, but yeah.
Well, all right. We'll see. Who was your dunce?
My dunce was Cheryl.
Oh, mine was too.
So. Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, because she's just so rude.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And the whole scene with Tina. Yeah,
double dunces.
Just so, everything she did was just so maddeningly rude. Like, even the stuff that was fun. Like, I really had a hard time getting over that she wanted to have sex to spite somebody else. And I was like, that is a terrible reason to have sex. That sounds like terrible sex.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay, what about your life lesson?
Your passcode can't be 2222 or 3333 or 1234.
Or 4444.
Or if it makes you put in a text password, it can't be password. It can't be 123456. It can't be let me in. Just, it's not that hard to think of a four-digit number that has significance to you that you can remember.
Yeah, I mean, to the to the other end of that, you know, it's like, I know people do their birthdays often enough.
Which is pretty bad. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, if you're going to do 2222, just don't even put a lock on your phone. Just put it in on always on lock mode, which I don't even know if you can do anymore.
Well, I don't know. I feel like Angela, like, I don't know. She could have cracked the code by now.
Right. There's only so many. Listen, you get 10 shots and you're going to get one of them.
Oh, that would have been great. You know, honestly, you know what she should have done is if Tony's just going to give her the wrong passcode, just keep entering in all those twos, yep. And then it'll lock them out for hours, days, whatever. It's like, that's what you get for being a bonehead and, like, giving her the wrong passcode at the beginning.
That's what I'm saying. Good idea.
Yeah.
All right, what was your lesson?
All right. My life lesson is inspired by Andrea. Just don't try to be someone that you're not. Don't try to present yourself as someone that you're not, especially if it's something like trying to present yourself as this devout Christian woman. You know, I just feel like, who exactly are you trying to impress? And it's like, that's, you're just misrepresenting yourself. And it's like, this is the reason why religious people have a bad reputation, is because everybody thinks they're hypocrites, mm-hmm. is because they're trying to present themselves as these devout, you know, Bible rule following people, you know, that are above everyone else because they're living their lives, you know, according to these religious rules. But then you have Andrea, who, like, and she's not the only one, you know, pretending that that's how she's living her life when in reality she's not. And I just feel like it's just giving all of them a bad name.
Sure.
So you're really bringing on this idea of hypocrisy by doing that. So just don't even pretend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just be yourself, be yourself and be truthful
about there it. There we go. Be yourself.
Yeah. Yep. And truthful about it.
And truthful about it. Right, right. Don't be yourself and then deceitful about it. Good, good, good. All right.
Yeah. All right. So, I guess we will see you all next week, same time. It's only been a couple episodes, so we're in it for the long haul.
Yeah, yeah, and we're caught up now, so we're gonna, from here on out, we're just going to be hitting the one episode per week.
Yep.
And we'll get one on Friday. All right, everybody, then.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.